CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Kane and Pendergast, I asked the people about if you watched it on Netflix, how did it go? And this is, the feedback's been pretty good. I was listening to a couple national shows on the way in, Seth, and they were talking about Netflix. Obviously, neither of the games lived up to the hype, especially the Texans. But apparently the presentation was good. This is a text message. Everything about Netflix was 10 times better than Prime, but just like Prime, the announcers sucked big time.
I think part of that is... I've only heard parts of the Texans broadcast, and I just love Greg Olsen, so I enjoyed that part of it. I think that there's always, in a one-off production like this, there's zero chemistry between some of the announcer or some of the color commentary.
Yeah, it was Ian Eagle, Nate Burleson, and J.J. Watt on the Steeler-Chiefs game. I don't think they've ever worked. I don't know if J.J.'s ever done commentary on a game before.
And I do think this is something that they do. When they bring in a new guy that's never done it before, they tend to do a three-man booth, and I feel like that's actually harder than a two-man booth. I think they think, JJ won't have to carry the load or anything.
Harder for everybody.
It's really hard to figure out when you're supposed to talk, when you're supposed to chime in if you've never done it before. Even if you're a veteran broadcaster, three people is a lot harder. It's a third body problem. It makes everything way more complex. I heard positive reports on JJ, but that's obviously most of my Twitter followers are going to be pretty positive.
Leans
JJ.
Positive, yeah. JJ. Yeah. Text message: Netflix did awesome on the strength of Kay Adams being so damn fine. That's from Titan Scott. Netflix was fine once it was on. This is another text message. Once it was on, I forgot it was Netflix. Seemed like a regular big game. It was nice to have Greg Olsen. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I like having Greg Olsen a lot.
I thought that in terms of what I saw from who they picked to do the games, it's hard to quibble with Greg Olsen. He was doing the Texans game with Noah Eagle, who's Ian Eagle's son, who's like a prodigy in this. He's like 27 years old, and he does his full-time work for NBC. But the networks all seem to put their weapons down for this Netflix stuff and allow their people to go do the Netflix broadcast, which is interesting because all of these outlets, and this is where the Netflix participation gets very interesting. If they did do well, I think the NFL is obviously rooting for them to do well. The irony of all these outlets loaning their talent to Netflix is that Netflix is going to be a huge player the next round of media rights.
Well, but I think though too is it looked like it was a CBS broadcast.
CBS did the production,
right?
Of it.
And so that's where I think if the networks are going to. If Netflix kind of like farms that part of it out to the networks themselves, then the networks are probably thinking, or maybe there's maybe they've had talks about like there's going to be some revenue sharing or something.
Maybe. I'm purely thinking about just Netflix driving the price up the next time that the bidding happens.
Yeah.
Because who knows where the pure streaming outlets are versus the ones that are a combo of streaming and over the top, like CBS and NBC.
I don't want to get this. I don't want this to get into too much inside baseball or anything. But I know that the one thing about the streaming stuff is that it's not as simple as us lay folk would think it would be. Like, you just slap it on the internet, right? So that I think there's kind of a respect for the fact that Netflix has been doing it. And when it comes to the streaming game. Can teach the network some things.
So
I don't know.
Maybe.
But anyway, I didn't hear anything about glitchiness in the stream, right?
Did you? No. The only I was reading Richard Deitch's review of it on The Athletic. He's their media critic. And the only real bad glitch happened right at the very beginning. There were audio issues with the pregame for the Steelers and the Chiefs, which probably came on at like 11 o'clock our time. That was a noon kick. So there were some audio issues, but no buffering issues that I heard about. Nothing even close to the criticism of the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight.
I had the halftime show going on my phone as I drove back to the studio at halftime, and so I never had any issues at all. For whatever that's worth, it seems like people were pretty happy with everything.
People were happy. The things I heard people being most happy with with Netflix was the quality of the picture really, really good. Like just very crisp.
That's what it seems like. That's like what I would say with Apple TV with a baseball. Yeah. That's the one thing that's like, man, it's just crisp.
It's very crisp. Yeah. I heard a lot of praise from Mina Kimes.
Yeah.
Mina Kimes was doing she was on the studio show out of L.A., which was being skippered by Kay Adams. She was steering the ship. And it was Mina Kimes, Manti Te'o, and RG3.
Yeah.
RG3 roundly criticized by a lot of people because I just think he annoys people. He's corny.
With Manti Te'o, and I watched none of it, I got just angry because, like, what is this? Why is this guy? Oh, wait a second. He's a good college player. Had a nice little go of it in the NFL, but like, has he come up through the ranks all of a sudden to where he's a broadcasting phenom or something?
He's not, obviously.
Why the hell is this guy like up there? At least RG3. I know he's not everybody's cup of tea, but he's got a lot of the makings of a good broadcast TV person. He's got a big personality and everything. Yeah. All like Manti Te'o's the opposite.
He's still a big name.
He's a big name.
Yeah.
But as far as his personality and everything else goes,
he's very low key.
Yeah.
He's very. I'm with you on that.
But I'm open to it. Was there anything insightful or anything? Was anybody impressed with Manti Te'o?
No. The sense I got, like I said, was that people thought Mina Kimes was the one bringing the most to that particular studio show, to the extent that people were going, well, this is proof that all the ones that, you didn't play. You can't analyze it. Like, this is a bad day for those people.
I've never understood. With Mina Kimes especially, people come at her all the time and say she's a DEI hire and everything. I'm watching her routinely on television, sitting next to people who clearly have not done the same level of work that she has and, like, clearly aren't as smart as she is. And I'm trying to figure out, like, it's fine if you disagree with her or you don't like her takes or something, but my God, she's smart.
she clearly understands football and puts the work in.
I honestly don't understand a lot of the Mina Kimes criticism. Other than that, like, I get it. Like, some people just don't, they're never going to like women talking about sports.
Well, football
or
will always be a high testosterone zone for a lot of people.
But when your criticism is you never played the game, like, all right, well, then you should be railing at Skip Bayless and all these other guys, too. It's not a male-female thing.
No.
Some of the highest paid sports media people were not athletes at all.
No.
It's not just that they didn't play football. They were just not. They were classic sports nerds.
Colin Cowherd and Jim Rome make a lot of money.
There's your buddy that at the lunch table could tell you the box score of all the baseball games and everything.
Yeah, that was me. I'll tell you what, good day for the NFL. At least, maybe I'm too immersed in game day with the Texans. The coverage seems to be way more about the NFL on Christmas that we're watching on the TV in here than the NBA on Christmas.
Uh-huh.
There's this feeling out there like, oh, here comes the NFL invading the one day on the calendar that the NBA had to themselves. That did not stop LeBron after yesterday's 115-113 win over the Warriors. The Lakers won with a late layup from Austin Reeves. Steph had just tied it with a three. It's a really good game. It was a really good game.
The world was amazed. Because that's the NBA's day.
Global.
Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, right. LeBron was getting interviewed after the game. His 19th Christmas Day game in his career. That is remarkable. However, what he's about to say here, not quite as remarkable. Here was LeBron James kind of flexing on the NFL a little bit after yesterday's thriller in San Francisco.
I love the NFL. I love the NFL, but Christmas is our day.
Okay.
Good luck with that,
dude. You're gonna get killed in the ratings by the NFL.
Did we cut it off? Did he go on to say he invented Christmas?
No. He may have.
He's like, nobody ever thought to celebrate Jesus' birthday until I came up with it.
Taco Tuesday. Barbershop talk.
Yeah. Then Christmas. I identified an obscure saint and turned him into a lovable fat man.
Right.
Santa Claus.
Right.
That was me. He trademarked it.
Mm-hmm. 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 And we're going to give gifts to everybody.
That feels like some British dude who's over there like right now standing up in a pub somewhere in, like, I don't know, Worcestershire, England.
Liverpool.
I'll tell you what. We've got them all on the run. This is the world bows to Britain. They do. We got the whole colonies everywhere.
Colonies.
Just wait until they see our 7-sail ship sail into their harbor. Then we'll give them the, then we'll give them the what for?
The 50 colonies.
Yes.
Oh, man, that is great.
Greatest empire in the world, we all.
Tells you, yeah.
Was I anywhere close to a British accent?
It was
there?
Fine. It was fine.
One of our beloved listeners yesterday was criticizing my New York accent.
Said it sounds too much like Boston.
I'm like, listen, I get rid of the R and that's it.
Yeah.
All right, Philly.
Yeah.
Philly, New York, Boston. It's all the same accent for me. I just delete R and then there we go.
Yeah. And it's a lot of the same vibe in all those cities, anyways.
Yeah.
Just yelling at each other and stuff. Yeah, man. LeBron. Odds that LeBron gets memed. When the NFL, like the NFL ratings come out, and they're going to have that screenshot of LeBron.
Christmas is our day.
Yeah.
Christmas is the NBA's day, man.
Yeah.
Well, plus, at least, like, unlike the British Empire, the NBA has never been the number one major league sport.
No, in the United
States. It went from baseball to football.
It did.
And that's pretty much the story.
Agreed. Yep. All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Thursday.
It's Boxing Day.
It is Boxing Day in Canada and a Reaction Thursday in this studio. There's a doctor online, and I checked, and he's definitely a doctor. 112,000 Twitter followers, which qualifies you to be a doctor.
I think I know who it is, and I've muted that guy, but go ahead, yeah.
He laid out, we now have more information on Tank Dell's injury.
Yeah, yeah.
He laid out the road ahead of Tank Dell, and, well, we'll lay it out for you. I'll let you guys react to it. We'll lay it out for you coming up.